This just in, hot off the bench press. Planet Fitness has added new strength equipment. Save $28 or more when you join today, and you can be one of the first to try it out. We're raising the bar with new benches, and our new hack squat will have you actually looking forward to leg day. Plus, we're still repping all of the best-in-class equipment we've always had, with most clubs open 24 hours, so you can work out your way on your time. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 10th. See home club for details.
Welcome, everyone, to the Spotlight here on Fightful. I'm Jeremy Lambert. That's Steven Jensen. It is Thursday, January 2nd. It is officially 2025. Shout out to Big Dick MLJ, as always. We got a lot of wrestling to talk about. Jensen, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Jeremy. I had all last week off work from the shoot job. Got destroyed at the casino, I'm not going to lie, but I have recouped some of that since. Which has been nice. But outside of that, my Minnesota Vikings, 14-2. So humongous game coming up this Sunday for all you football fans. It'll be the Vikings and the Lions. The winner of that game is going to be the winner of the NFC North. They're going to be the number one seed in the playoffs. They'll have the bye and home field advantage. Also, this game, less people are talking about. This game's probably for Coach of the Year also. It's probably going to come down to Kevin O'Connell and Dan Campbell. So a lot on the line this Sunday for my Minnesota Vikings. Also, I may or may not have placed a bet before the season started that the Vikings would win the division. So if that happens, I'll be a very happy man. I also might have placed some other bets about them potentially. I can tell Jeremy's busy. I'll keep stalling. I also may have made some bets potentially on the Vikings winning the entire NFC, and also them winning the Super Bowl before the season started. Also, if somehow Sam Darnold actually wins the MVP, I'll also be very, very happy. So all these things that I did before the season started that people thought I was crazy for, which I kind of was, but Vikings are now actually in a position to maybe actually cash all of that in. So I'm pretty excited about all of that. So as far as that all goes, been a pretty entertaining, eventful holiday week when it comes to my Vikings. So outside of that, though, everything else is all good. Spent time with family, got presents. Oh, by the way, Jeremy, I got your card. So thank you very much for that. I meant to message you guys the day that I got that, but I actually didn't get it until like the day or the day before because I didn't check my mail for the longest time while I was gone. But thank you very much from you and your family. And are you good now? How's it going for you?
There was a bug on my desk, and like it was just gonna sit there the entire show if I didn't just get it, and it was just gonna bug me, or it was gonna like fly off or whatever, and that was gonna annoy me too. So like, I just gotta take care of it. So that's what I was doing.
I get that. Shytown Spurs with a super chat that pertains to what I was just talking about. I'll talk about this a little bit longer. I know you guys don't want football talk. You want to talk about wrestling. There's a lot of wrestling to talk about. A lot of really interesting stuff in the world of wrestling to talk about this week. So I will answer this real quick, though. So Chi-Town Spurs, the Super Chat says, who do you want for quarterback next year, Sam or trade J.J. McCarthy? So that is a conversation that would take me a while to fully explain. I see both sides of the argument. my personal opinion. So you have to look at it these two ways and then kind of just kind of pick your poison. But this is like, this is a dream scenario. This is like, what do they call it? I'm trying to think of that term where it's like a first world problems pretty much. Cause it's like, they're both great options. So you have to look at it this way. So Sam Darnold's currently getting paid $10 million by the Vikings. At the time that we signed him, people thought we were overpaying him because his career had gone so poorly everywhere else. But now he's going to be worth like 50 to 60 million instead of 10 million. And he's going to be a free agent in the offseason. So at the very least, we're going to franchise tag him at the very least, I think, which is like, because then that gives us the option to trade him instead of just letting him go. So, because we can't at this point, we could just let him go and just let him test free agency. That's potentially could happen too. Or we just pay the man and keep him around for the next few years. But that's going to cost us once again probably 50 to 60 million. Now, there's a couple things that could happen. Darnold himself is having a blast. I don't know if y'all saw the footage of him entering the locker room after the game this week. The team showered him with water and paraded him around the locker room on their shoulders like Rudy. It was like, and Kevin O'Connell has like a tear in his eye watching all this. Because Kevin O'Connell, our head coach, is living vicariously through Sam Darnold. Because Kevin O'Connell was a guy who got drafted into the league, played behind Tom Brady, never got a real chance. So he's seeing a guy in Sam Darnold that's like, he gets to live through in this experience. So like, I think those two guys have become very close. And Darnold, it's possible Darnold could just be like, dude, it sucked everywhere else I was before this. I don't want that to happen to me again. This is a perfect marriage. Maybe he'll take, you know, in like the 30s or something instead of the 50s just to stay on the team because he actually has a chance to win on this team and he doesn't have to go back to seeing ghosts other places. So if Sam Darnold's willing to take a little bit of a basically not take his full value, but continue to stay with the Vikings and help us build around him for the next, you know, 3 to 5 years or whatever, that's a possibility. The flip side of this whole conversation is we drafted JJ McCarthy, number 10 overall last year. He was probably going to be our starter this year sometime during the season if Darnold wasn't playing well. And he costs us nothing because he's on that rookie contract. So he gets like less than $1 million a year. So we would be paying JJ nothing and basically thinking, well, Kevin O'Connell did this with Kirk, you know, even though Kirk was a decent quarterback before O'Connell, but Kirk had a 13-win season with Kevin O'Connell before he got injured the next year with his Achilles. And then you can see what O'Connell did with Sam Darnold this year. And then you just got to be thinking like, why couldn't he also do this with JJ McCarthy? Why couldn't he also do this with Daniel Jones, who he signed during the season? Like, so that's the whole line of thinking is like, if Darnold, that's going to be the decision. If Darnold wants to get paid 50 to 60, which he honestly deserves at this point, then he's going to have to do it somewhere else. If he's willing to take a little less money to stay here, I could see them working something out. If he has to leave or if Kevin O'Connell has his mind made up already and JJ McCarthy is his guy, no matter what next season, then we ride with McCarthy and hope that he can duplicate the success that Darnold had this year with the same squad. And this squad should be even better next year because we're not going to lose anybody major this offseason, most likely. And we'll probably draft a young running back because Aaron Jones is up there in age. So anyway, that's my we can move on from all that. But my gut is that they're going to figure something out with Darnold. I really think they will. I think he's going to take less money to stay is my gut feeling. So,
guys, you can leave a super chat like Chi-Town Spurs did. Also, leave a thumbs up on the video. Subscribe to the channel. All of that really helps us out. Any more football talk?
No, the only other thing is because I saw Louisville put it in the chat. I've seen conspiracy theories about Kirk Cousins coming back. That is a possibility. The reason being is because what's happening, if you guys have noticed what's happened with Russell Wilson in Pittsburgh, where Denver's actually paying his contract still. So Pittsburgh's only paying him $1 million a season. Denver's paying him all that guaranteed money that they had to pay him before they released him or traded him, whatever they technically did. So Cousins is going to get paid. If Cousins gets released by the Falcons or whatever next year, the Falcons are going to pay his salary. So the Vikings would get Kirk Cousins back on $1 million, which is basically what we're paying J.J. McCarthy. And we would have him for one season. J.J. plays underneath Kirk for 1 year. And then J.J. is our guy the next season. We don't pay anything for Kirk to have him come back and try to run one good season with us. So it's a possibility. I think it's more likely Darnold stays in Minnesota than us bringing Kirk back. But it is possible. Someone in the chat, Chi-Town Spurs, mentioned that Cam Skidaboo, however you say it.
Skidaboo.
I don't watch college football, but I've been watching the bowl games a lot. Some of the guys are really, really impressive. I like him. I like the, what's his name? The Jaden something. He just played the other night. I think he's like the top running back in college. I'm just thinking, I can't think of his last
name. Alshon Gentry?
Oh, Gentry, that was it. Jenny. It's like Genty.
Genty. Something like that.
That's what I'm thinking of. Apparently, there's some chatter that the Vikings could go with him in the draft.
I don't know. I don't know if he's gonna fall that far.
The Vikings, they're gonna have a lot of options this year because they have a ton. If all goes as well, and they cannot pay Sam Darnold, and if they can keep, they have a ton of salary cap room this year and draft picks they can play with, so there's potential for us to move up if we need to also this year. I mean, we're set up really, really, really good financially this upcoming offseason. We didn't expect this year to go so good. The biggest lines was us winning 5.5 games this year, so it's like they were preparing for next year this whole time with all this money. So we're going to have a lot of options to get players or move up in the draft. And running backs also don't go until probably 10 to 20 or whatever.
But somebody's going to be desperate for a running back and get the guy who, you know, broke all kinds of college records with his yards from scrimmage and everything. So they might not go early, but I don't think they're, because the Vikings pick is going to be in the late 20s, right? It's going to be 29, 30.
I honestly can't remember when they picked in the draft. But
it's based on record.
But I'm just saying,
they have a good record.
I do expect them, if they need to move up. I wouldn't be surprised at all if they moved up. So.
Okay. No, I feel like they'll probably have to move up a little bit because some team's going to see these running, especially this year where there's a lot of more emphasis on running backs with Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley, and they change teams. And it's like, oh, look how good these guys are doing now. Like some team is going to be like, oh, well, we just need a good running back now, and not realizing because the Eagles line is good and the Ravens line is good, and it's not necessarily like the running backs are obviously still good, but these are also just like good teams. Like I don't think Derrick Henry is still putting up these numbers if he's on the Titans. I don't think Saquon is still putting up these numbers if he's on the Giants. But some team is going to be stupid and be like, yeah, we just need a really good running back. Let's take Genty in with the ninth pick.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely possible, and I think you're right about that. I do think Saquon and Derrick Henry are both obviously elite running backs, but neither were having this kind of success before the teams that they're currently on. The Saquon thing is just an anomaly in itself, because we talked about this with Jarrett Bailey when we had him on, but the fact that that organization wound up paying Daniel Jones so much just to release him mid-season the next year and let Saquon walk, and you see what Saquon's doing right now with the Eagles, it's unreal. Also, last football thing that I'll bring up, I know people want us to move on. For your Panthers, dude, Adam Thielen, I've been saying it all season, even though he's been hurt, Adam Thielen's the man still. That guy's still a baller. So I love seeing him go out there, put up 2 touchdowns and 110 receiving yards this past week. So shout out to my favorite football player of all time, Adam Thielen, still killing it.
He's been good. I didn't know what to expect from him. Bryce Young was terrible to start the year. Bryce Young has really turned around. The defense just got awful, though. Too many injuries and just not good.
You have some stuff to look forward to, though. I think Bryce is going to turn. He's definitely turned.
That's been the biggest thing, is it doesn't feel like we traded our entire future and then wasted the number one overall pick on a guy who I mean, at the start of the season, looked like, oh, what are they just going to like trade him for a third round pick? Like, if that,
right.
Like that was the hope in the middle of the season when Andy Dalton came in and was like playing well. It's like, oh, maybe we can get a third for Bryce Young. It's like, great. We traded, you know, two first round picks, a second rounder, and DJ Moore, and we're going to get a third round pick for all of that. Right. Like, that, right. Not very good business there. So it does look like Bryce is actually our quarterback of the future. And then, yeah, we got to get guys around him. The line's been good this year. Chuba Hubbard was good before he got injured, but the defense, way too many injuries and just not good enough personnel.
Yeah, you're right. They got to keep building that up. And I don't know how long Thielen, I guess maybe Thielen might be there one more year.
Yeah, he signed a 3-year deal. This would be next year would be his third year. So,
and then they just got to, yeah, Leggett shows promise. Like I'd be happy to have, I mean, obviously, I want Darnold over pretty much anyone at this point because of how he's played. But, like, if Darnold left tomorrow and, like, Bryce Young was an option, I would want him. You know what I mean? Like, I think he's solid. So, yeah, you guys have a lot.
I think he's an option now. You probably could have had him in the middle of the season for.
Oh, no, I'm just saying hypothetically. Like, I'm just right. saying, I there's plenty of quarterbacks in the league right now where I'd say, screw that. Like, keep them away from the Vikings. But, like, I see a lot of potential in Bryce Young. And he's playing well. He's playing really well.
Yeah. All right. Let's get into wrestling because there's a lot to talk about here.
Yes.
Find these bumpers. All right. Here we go. You know what? It's not AEW Spotlight, but relevant.
I know what's
going on. I'm old and I'm fucking tired and I work with fucking children. I'm tired of wrestling these kids that think they know everything.
Mm-hmm. You left for the competition. How did that work out? Those were the words of Seth Rollins, among other words, on Monday night when him and CM Punk had their back and forth. The gist of it, I'm never going to be able to do this thing justice, but the gist of it was they aired their grievances live on television. And CM Punk called Seth Rollins a bootlicker. He said, "You didn't have my back when I left. Oh, you say I took my ball and went home. Is that what Steve Austin did? Is that what Becky Lynch did? You know, I like the place I worked for. I didn't like I liked the place I worked at. I didn't like who I worked for, but the guy I worked for loved you. Like, I had to leave. You know, everyone, when I left, everyone threw arrows at my back, and I'm going to walk into Raw and Netflix with the arrows, and then I'm going to jam them down your throat." And Seth Rollins said, "You left. You tried to tear down the company. The way to start a change is to do what I did, which is stay. To build up and to elicit change from the inside. You went on your buddy's podcast and tried to bury the company. You went to the competition and tried to bury the company. And now you're back and you're just as much of a bootlicker as I am at this point. I'm going to burn you down on Raw and Netflix." He took a shot of it. Punk not having kids either. He's like, "You went to go start a family. You wouldn't know anything about that." What'd you make of this back and forth, Jensen?
Let me. You can guess. Who do you think?
I assume you think Seth Rollins like got the better of Punk.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. So I don't even know where to start on all this. I really like this promo. I mean, this back and forth. Obviously, this is very similar in a lot of ways to the Punk and McIntyre feud, which I love. You know, I think that these are people that legitimately have animosity towards one another, and they're allowed to let it play out on WWE television, at least to some extent. I mean, I'm sure there's an understanding between everybody involved, you know, ahead of time so that everything goes, you know, as smoothly as possible. But it's also one of those things where it's like, you know, Jeremy, if Cody Rhodes wasn't in the company, Seth Rollins might be my favorite guy in the company right now. I know I said a lot about Drew McIntyre as well. So the one thing that they never go towards, I think McIntyre referenced the UFC once, but I would have liked Seth to do that as well. Cause he talked about everything outside of the company that he did.
I feel like, I don't know this for certain. Could be completely wrong. I feel like of all the things like that might actually be, yeah, let's not talk about that.
You're probably right.
It is not, this isn't even me saying CM Punk's like, hey, don't talk about that. Like, I you know, that's a sore subject. Maybe it is. Maybe it's not. I don't know. Same I feel owner. Like it's a what?
Same ownership. That they're like, we don't want this even mentioned because this we own all of it. Like, we don't want.
Well, it's that, but it's also like it just kind of makes it doesn't make anybody look good. You know, like it doesn't make Punk look good. Of like, hey, you went to the UFC and you got beat up by a bunch of like. By a dude who now like hasn't won in forever. I feel like Mickey Gall just got his ass kicked like a couple weeks ago. Mike Johnson had literally like one fight and got released. After
Mike Jackson, that's very important. There's a man named Michael Jackson.
Yes. Sorry, Mike Jackson. So I don't think it makes anybody look good. Of like, yeah, let's bring up this UFC where Punk looked awful and got his ass beat by two guys who didn't go on to do anything. Like. I know the point is to like tear each other down and like put real heat on them. But at the same time, these are, for all intents and purposes, two of the best wrestlers in the company. So saying like, yeah, you got beat up in a humiliating way in two fights doesn't do anybody any favors. So I think it's more that than Punk being like, yeah, don't talk about this. This is the sore subject. Maybe that's part of it. Don't know. But there was there was an acknowledgement of his USC run. I don't remember if it was post Rumble. Yeah, it was back when he was I feel like it was in Cleveland at the show that I went to. That wasn't even post Rumble, but maybe there was a post Rumble comment after he got injured. Maybe he said something about it as well.
Look, yeah, he said something like it didn't go so well for me. Like he like tongue in cheek kind of acknowledged.
Yeah,
it,
you're right. You're right.
He wasn't like he didn't go into detail, obviously. And I think that everything that you're talking about is I think that is the case, honestly. I don't think it's Punk saying, don't bring this up. I think it's, they're all, like, TKO owns both companies at this point. They probably don't want the fan base even, like, going and watching CM Punk's UFC run. Because, to be honest, the only fans out there, outside of, like, the fans that just, like, love his on-screen wrestling, which is fine, the ones that think he's an actual badass are the ones that have not seen him fight in the UFC. They know he fought in the UFC, and they think that that's badass. Because, there's a lot of guts that takes. I've never taken that away from him that he did that. Like, that takes massive balls to go in there and fight anybody in the cage. Like, that's – even, like Batista did it. Remember, like, it wasn't in the UFC, but, like, Batista did that one MMA fight against some total – you know, some fat dude who had no skill. But it was, like – Batista went in there and beat that guy. But it was, like – it was impressive because it was, like, damn, Batista's going in there and testing himself against somebody in a real fight. Like, that's – that takes a lot of balls when you're Dave Batista to go out there and you put yourself out there like that. Maybe you might lose to this guy. And like, that's, you know, that'd be kind of embarrassing because like the other guy didn't look very good, but Batista, you know, did what he needed to do, got the win, never fought again, but it was like, he gave it a try. That was very respectable. I feel the
it's
same
much
way about,
different.
Oh, God. Sorry. I was going to say, I feel the same way about CM Punk to a lot of degree when it comes to that, except for the fact that like, then he actually fought and it was so bad that it was like, well, that's one thing, but then when you find out he's fighting people backstage and stuff like that at these like in the wrestling world, that's when I had problems because I'm like, dude, this isn't like Josh Barnett, like who has like real credibility in the MMA world. This is a guy who, like, CM Punk shouldn't, like, I think straight up in a one-on-one fight right now with no training, Seth Rollins would beat up CM Punk in real life, like right now. You know what I mean? Like, so. That's just my own. And sorry, go ahead, Jeremy. I know you got something to say, looks like.
Oh, I mean, I don't know who would win a real fight between Seth Rollins and CM Punk. Punk, despite the fact that he's not good in the UFC, like, he's still at least trained in that aspect. Like, he's not the most athletic guy.
No, but not at all. I know Seth is bigger, faster, and stronger.
Yeah, that doesn't, like,
it could.
That doesn't
it
mean
could.
Anything.
It could, though. Dude, well, I would say this about anyone else. I would say this about Mickey Gall. I think Mickey Gall would be Seth Rollins. Well, I think Michael Jackson probably would. Michael Jackson was a part-time fighter. He's a photographer. Like, people don't understand how pathetic this was. Mike Jackson held CM Punk down and tickled him in the fight. He at one point was looking at the crowd and waving at the crowd while he was punching Punk in the face on the ground. It was so embarrassing that Dana White stopped booking Mike Jackson because of it. He was like, dude, you went out there and played with this guy for too long. Like, we're not letting this guy fight anymore either. Next time Mike Jackson fought was like 2 years later, and he got kicked in the nuts twice in the first round. That was it. And I won money on that. I'll never forget that. I won like $100 because I put money on Mike Jackson because he was such a massive underdog. and he won by disqualification because he got kicked in the nuts too many times.
To get
that's the guy who beat up CM Punk. But at the same time, like, it is a lose-lose because, like, let's say Seth Rollins brings that up to CM Punk in the middle of the ring, says, you know, just says Michael Jackson or Mickey Gall, or, you know, says something about the UFC that Punk doesn't like. Punk can just turn around and be like, yeah, at least I fought for real in the UFC, you know what I mean? Then that makes the WWE look bad because it's like, now you're saying all our stuff is fake in comparison, which I know people obviously know, but you never really want to, like, spotlight that. And then, like, you can always say to Seth, at least, you know, like, because then Seth, you know, Seth hasn't fought in the UFC, which is true, because we don't know what he would actually look like in a real fight. So it's a hard thing for any WWE guy to bring up. Outside of, like, if it was like a Brock Lesnar and CM Punk feud, that would be hilarious to hear Brock talk about it, for instance. Brock actually won the UFC Heavyweight Championship.
Right, and that's the difference of why they, you know, would talk about Brock and his UFC run, because he actually accomplished something. Like, he was the heavyweight champion. His losses were to really good guys. Like, it was to former champions or reigning champions at the time. So, yes. Yeah, there's no shame in what Brock did. Where, yeah, Punk, he didn't really hit one. He didn't win. Two, I'm not sure he landed a single strike in either of the fights. And three, yeah, he got beat up by guys who didn't go on to do anything. So I don't think they have a reason to do it, and you'll probably never hear it, unless it is Punk kind of tongue-in-cheek saying it. Like, I don't think they'll ever kind of mention it.
Well, and simultaneously, and the WWE wouldn't really want you looking at this either, probably, simultaneously, if y'all go back and you were to watch CM Punk's interviews during his UFC run, I shouldn't say all he does, but throughout, anytime he was asked about professional wrestling, from the time that he left Colt Cabana's podcast to his full UFC run, like, he was shitting on the wrestling fans. He was shitting on the wrestling product. Like, he didn't want to be referred to as a wrestler. He didn't want to talk. Like, he hated pro wrestling. You know what I mean? And I get he was burned out and he was tired and all this stuff, but all these fans that are, like, so dedicated to him, like, he really sounded like he wanted nothing to do with y'all for the longest time until he needed y'all again when he came back to wrestling. So, like, that's why I feel a certain type of way about that whole situation, because I followed all of it. I saw it all happen in real time. I saw the way that he ducked the Green Ranger, wouldn't fight him. David Frank, who was an actual martial artist. Even though he was a Green Ranger, he was an actual legitimate martial artist who had his own, he was like a, like, super high level, like, multiple stripe black belt, whatever you call it, and, like, his discipline, and had his own style as well. Anyways, that's why I get so passionate about it. I followed this all in real life because I was a CM Punk. I was a big CM Punk fan when he was in the WWE, and when he left the company, I was all hyped up on him fighting in the UFC. I was working for MMA on Point at the time, a very large MMA YouTube channel at the time, and I was constantly defending the idea of CM Punk fighting in the UFC. I looked so bad in that community for, like, constantly, like, having that guy's back, and then he would go out there and do what he would.
So that's what this really stems from.
What it really stems from, Jeremy, is my girlfriend. I've never even talked about this. My girlfriend in college loved CM Punk, loved him. I've never even talked about this before. You just unzipped me. I completely forgot about all this. My girlfriend hated pro wrestling, but she likes CM Punk.
Do you need to, like, lay down here?
I need to. I'm losing my mind over here, man. I'm still buying the guy's action figures. I'm buying his autographs. What am I doing? I might love him, actually. I might have a crush on this guy. This whole time. This was like WWE ECW CM Punk. It was like, you know, I used to watch that in college.
Okay, go back. Your girlfriend at the time loved CM Punk.
Yeah. She didn't like wrestling, but she thought that CM Punk looked like a superhero because of his tattoos. And I was always like, he looks like the superhero of all the people that... She also, like, to be fair, she liked John Morrison a lot, too. And we got to interview him, which was cool. I ought to send her that interview. I haven't talked to her in, like, a decade. But I'll...
Just randomly show up, like, remember that guy you liked? We talked to him.
I'm going to be like, yeah, look what I've been doing with my life. Boom. I'm talking to the guys that we were watching in my dorm room. Yeah. Remember those guys we would watch in my dorm room that would wrestle each other? I actually talked to some of them now. How crazy is that? Okay, thanks. Bye. Have fun in your life with your family. She got a whole family. She's probably got a great life now. You know, good for her. I'm not gonna say her name. I don't want people going out find her. Actually, let me go ahead and just. Fragile ego, fragile body, weak mind, weak spirit. Mox is right. That's what Boris says. That was a great line by John Moxley. That was actually a tweet that I deleted not too long ago. I tweeted that who was it? Jungle Boy and McIntyre had that picture go up that McIntyre tweeted. I tweeted that as like a complete joke. Like, obviously CM Punk didn't get that taken down. Like, I know that, but I tweeted that as a troll and had some threats to unalive myself from the CM Punk fans. So yeah, that was a little too sometimes they go a little too far. Not just CM Punk fans, but they like, you know,
all these fans, honestly.
Dude, CM Punk fans, Mercedes fans, like some of them really like they love their favorite wrestler and they are willing to say wild stuff to defend them. So if you like, it's one thing to just be like, hey, CM Punk's my favorite, I love him. Fuck you, Steven. You don't know shit. Fuck Cody Rhodes. I'd be like, okay, fair enough. Like, that's your opinion on wrestling. But when you're like, I'm going to find where your parents live, then it's like, oh, okay, they're a special type of, that's different. That's way different than being a wrestling fan. So I've dealt a lot of that with the CM Punk fan base. So that also fuels my fire a little bit. So to be fully transparent.
Were you, after this promo, are you more excited for this match? Less excited? About the same?
Oh, more excited. I think this is great. This is great stuff on television. It really is. Like, I'd say the same thing about the McIntyre stuff. I'm very happy I was there at Bad Blood to see that Hell in a Cell match between those two. And you know that this Punk and Seth thing, I mean, this is Netflix. Like, Netflix debut. This is going to be huge. So I think there's going to be a lot of eyes on this, and it'll lead to like a trilogy of matches between these guys. I think like this will probably still be a WrestleMania. Well, maybe not. I think there's more probably fuel to the fire of CM Punk versus Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. Now I'm feeling like we talked about that a few weeks ago, and I feel like there's more steam to that. But regardless, I think this will be the first of like a few matches between these guys. And I think that this promo did nothing but, you know, maybe even more interested in the whole thing. Also, I thought it was kind of inaccurate for him to bring up the Becky like Stone Cold, because Becky's contract ran up, right? She didn't like take her ball and go home. There's a big difference between quitting the company like CM Punk did or like Steve Austin did and what Becky Lynch did. That's two completely different things. So
yeah, I mean, obviously he just kind of brought that up to, you know, just bring it up. Not that she took her ball and went home now, but maybe to try to defend Punk a little bit. Maybe he was talking about during the pandemic. Because then that's when Rollins, like, you know, we went to, you know, go start a family, raise a kid. You wouldn't know anything about that. Like, she did during the pandemic, even before. Like, she announced her pregnancy, like, right after Raw or right after WrestleMania. But Seth has said this, and Becky has said this as well, like, she didn't want to wrestle during the pandemic. Like, there was like, she was like, yeah, these new crowds things, like, yeah, I'm not really feeling this. And that's when they decided, like, okay, well, now seems like a good time to start a family. And so that's what they decided to do. So it could be, maybe that was what he was referencing there, and not this current part, which, because yeah, her contract just expired. She wanted time off. Good for her. She's earned that. And I assume she'll be back on Raw.
You could be right about that. There's no way of me knowing one way or another exactly what he meant by that, I guess, to be fair. I mean, I think he just wanted to bring up Becky, like you said. Yeah. He just wanted it to be a part of it. Because that hits a nerve to bring her up in any degree in front of Seth. So,
yeah.
Yeah, so it's good stuff. The match is going to be ball. It's going to be a great match. So, and Seth's got to win.
I mean, I kind of agree with you, but I don't know if that's going to happen.
I don't need. Well, it depends on what the plan is for both guys immediately after that. Like, what does Seth do at WrestleMania if Punk's going to wrestle Roman? Do you think?
What is Seth going to do at WrestleMania? Yeah. Punk wrestles Roman?
Yeah.
I assume Punk and Roman is for a title. Like, you're not just going to do that match and not have a title on the line.
So Punk would have to win the title before WrestleMania?
Or Roman could win the title before WrestleMania. But I don't know if that's Cody's title. I don't know if that's Gunther's title. Not sure.
Yeah, I think it had to be Gunther's.
Well, of course you think it's going to be Gunther's and not
Cody's. Well, I mean, beyond my bias towards Cody Rhodes, I think we're getting a Cody the Rock still.
Oh, let's say the Rock's not in the picture, though, because by all accounts, at least for now, he's not.
What did we say last time? What did we eventually agree? What did we eventually get to? I can't remember. We talked about this before.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different scenarios. Because Gunther also could play into this too. Like, and John Cena could also play into this also. It all depends on. Yeah, there's too many options.
Really, there's a whole lot of options out there. But I think if the plan is Punk Roman, Punk's winning on Monday.
If the plan's Punk Roman, Punk has to win the feud with Rollins, I think. So Punk would either have to win on Monday, or he'd have to get the win back sometime between now and WrestleMania. He could also win the Royal Rumble if Roman winds up with another title. Punk could win the Rumble.
Roman's gonna win the Ulafala title because they're apparently gonna make a belt, the Tribal Chief title. And Punk's gonna win the Rumble, and Punk's gonna say, forget about the undisputed WWE title, forget about the WWE World Heavyweight title. I want the Tribal Chief Championship.
He wants the People's Championship.
He should actually call out and say, I want the People's Championship. It'd be hilarious.
Are you trolling or did I miss something? They're not actually making any kind of belt, right?
That's a rumor. It's not like, really. Yeah, that's a real rumor. Again, I don't know if it's going to come to fruition, but yeah, that's a rumor. Mm-hmm. You're not feeling the Tribal Chief Championship?
No. No, because I feel like it's already represented by the Ulafala. But if you're going to... And then they're not going to make it like a big like chain title. I guess they could. I've seen those in wrestling before. You wear it around your neck.
Solo should win and just wear the title around his neck.
Yeah, I don't think Solo's going to win. That's their other spotlight. If you want to just like transition right into that. Do you actually think Solo's going to win Tribal Combat?
No.
Okay, no. I'm about to say it, dude. There's no chance. But the first Netflix, Raw, they're definitely, like, that's going to be all about making sure that the Netflix audience understands that Roman Reigns is the guy.
So I assume this opens the show. That's my guess. Is this because Punk and Rollins is supposed to main event. So I assume you're either opening with John Cena, which is probably the more likely option is first Raw on Netflix. Who do you have? One of the biggest stars in the world. Here's John Cena. That's the most likely option. As far as match goes, I think this is the first match. Because you do John Cena, you have him make his announcement, which I assume is going to be, I'm entering the Royal Rumble, even though we all know he's going to be like at the Rumble already. But he's going to declare himself for the Royal Rumble. And then the final time is now. Cena's walking off. Here comes Solo as, you know, making his entrance for Tribal Combat. And then you get into Tribal Combat. They do like the stare down in the aisle way because, you know, the last time they were in the ring together, well, it was WrestleMania and Cena took him out. But before that, it was when Solo killed him at, I guess it was Crown Jewel, whichever Saudi show it was. So you do the stare down between them. Maybe that's a match you do just on like a random television episode at some point during Cena's, you know, last run here. And then you get into Solo and Roman Reigns. Roman's probably going to win. Here's my question, though. Are we getting The Rock?
Probably. I mean, it makes sense.
Netflix. I don't think we are.
I mean, I don't know if we will or not, but I'm just saying, like, it would make sense. Like, they're going to try to make this, like, the biggest Raw ever because so many people are going to be watching that normally don't watch wrestling. Somewhere, I mean, I'm not going to get, like, you know, Mike Tyson, Jake Paul numbers. I'm not like that delusional, but there's a lot of, like, the reason I even bring that up is because so many people who don't watch boxing watch that on Netflix. Like, it'll be similar to some degree where, you know, just your average, because I also don't know how it's going to work with like the autoplay stuff, but I bet you anybody who watches any like combat sports doc or anything on Netflix is probably going to like recommend them to like watch Raw and stuff. Like, you know what I mean? So it's, I think there's going to be a lot of people who don't really follow wrestling. They're going to be watching this. So like, if there's a chance of them getting The Rock on the show, I think they're going to do it. But sure. I have no idea what The Rock's. I mean, well, I guess to answer your question, what's it matter one way or the other? Like what would change in your, like, if The Rock is there versus not being there? Is that like a stamp of approval that like he's going to be at WrestleMania if he shows up in Netflix? Or
I kind of think so. I think if he is on this show, it's more credence to him being at WrestleMania. Where if he's not on this show, it's more credence to him not being at WrestleMania. I don't think, I could be completely wrong. The Rock's going to do what The Rock's going to do. He calls all the shots here. But I don't think he shows up to this show knowing, yeah, I'm just going to show up and not work WrestleMania. I don't feel like that's a thing. Bad Blood was a different situation.
I was about to ask about that. Yeah. Okay.
He happened to be in town because, you know, he was at the high school game the night before. The alignment just happened to work. And I do think it was a thing of like, oh, you know, I'm here. Let's give the fans something special, blah, blah, blah. Like, I understand that being a special circumstance that happened to line up. Because clearly, like, they haven't really referenced it. He certainly hasn't been mentioned again. Like, it happened. And then, yeah, they replayed it that week because it's like, look how many social media views The Rock did. Look at all of this. Like, and of course, they're going to promote it. But they haven't actually like referenced it on television. Roman's never really brought it up. Solo's never brought it up. Heyman, you know, since he's been back, nobody's actually like brought up The Rock. You show up on Raw on Netflix. I don't think that's just let's just show up and that's it. We're never going to talk about this again. That much like when he last year, when he showed up and did the head of the table thing. To me, that was a clear sign. Oh, he's working Mania. You're not going to say this without some type of plan in place to work Mania. Now, apparently, like, it did kind of come down to the wire and Rumble. He decided, yeah, I'm going to work and Cody, you're going to win. And who cares about your dumb plans? So maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he does show up and it's just another one-off thing and he gets his pop and he moves on. But I think if he shows up to Raw on Netflix, it's more of a sign that he's working Mania. And if he doesn't show up to Raw on Netflix, it's a sign that he's probably not showing up to Mania.
I could agree with that. Like, I think you're probably on the money. I mean, it'd be pretty messed up if like he showed up at the Raw on Netflix and like didn't work WrestleMania. You know what I mean? Like, you get like everyone would expect it if he showed up. So
yeah. That's the thing. Like, I don't feel like he's going to show up and then not work WrestleMania. Maybe he will. Like,
he can still show up at the Rumble, though. There's still some time for him to show up before WrestleMania, though. But I see what you're saying, though, about the Netflix thing. Is like, if he's on the Netflix on if he's at that Netflix on Raw on Netflix, is what I'm trying to say. Then that's, I think that's pretty much a stamp that he's for sure at WrestleMania.
Big Man Dog saying, I feel like they would advertise The Rock for Raw on Netflix. One, I'm not sure they know until the day of anyway. Two, you're already going to get people tuning in. Like, you got to have some surprises, right? Like, I know everyone's basically saying Becky's going to show up, but they're not advertising that Becky's going to show up, but she's featured in a lot of the promotional material. So people have pretty much honed in. Hey, Becky's probably going to show up on this thing. I mean, Rock's featured in some promotional material, but you got to have some surprises on this. Like, you know, you're getting John Cena. You know, you're getting Punk and Rollins. You know, you're getting a Roman Reigns match. Cody's already been advertised and said he's going to, is supposed to be there. He was in like the big press release and everything. I think you'll, along with Becky, there's a possibility Charlotte returns here. You know, she's been out for a year. She's been on television for a year. I don't know how long she's been cleared for, but she's been off television for a year now. So they're going to have some surprises. You can afford to not advertise The Rock You're already going to get people tuning in.
You think we hear that gong on Monday?
God, I hope not. Why? He doesn't want to be the Undertaker.
Save Cody.
He doesn't want to be the Undertaker. He wants to be Mark.
I liked what we saw at WrestleMania. Him just being him, coming out, saving Cody in street clothes.
Yeah, because he didn't want to put on the hat and all that stuff.
Yeah, I don't need the hat and all that stuff. I don't need that.
No, I don't.
I just need me some mean Mark coming out.
No desire to see the Undertaker.
None. I'm trolling you. But I do want to see that, you know, you don't have to feel about, you know, people who saved Cody Rhodes in the main event of WrestleMania.
You're forever indebted to them.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Became an Undertaker fan that night. Took 40 years, but you know, finally happened.
I'm exaggerating.
It was more like 30 years, not 40, to be fair.
Can't put the hat on. It's going to ruin my legacy if I put the hat on again.
Yeah. Don't need it.
The hat died in the ring when I died in the ring at Boneyard match.
Man, I remember. Were you at WrestleMania 33 in Orlando?
No.
I was at that one where it was him and Roman in the main event. And I remember him leaving all his stuff in the ring and actually being like, yeah. And I remember thinking the main event wasn't good. And I was like, okay, yeah, well, at least like it did. It sucked. But, but I was like, okay, what a great way to end it, though. Like, and then Roman got so much heat the next night. And then the next time we saw The Undertaker, he just, like, had it all back on. Like, nothing happened. I was like, wait, what was all that for, then? Why did all that happen? And, you know, wasn't a big fan of his. But then he saved Cody and, you know, kind of changed my opinion of him. What's our next spotlight?
Over a million fans and a great number in the demo tuned in. And it was a great show. And I think it's been a run of great shows.
Were you so excited for AEW Dynamite?
I thought it was a good show. Yeah.
But were you excited? So excited that you just couldn't hide it?
Oh, yeah. Remember when, of course you remember when Jesse Spano did that.
Yeah, they should have used the Jesse Spano version.
Oh my God, that'd be so funny if they edited that in. I don't know what's up with the old theme songs. That is kind of weird. Like, I'd probably pick something a bit more modern for, like, all the shows. That's just me, though.
I don't mind, like, an older song. Like, I think Elton John, Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting, which they're bringing back this week.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's, like, a fine intro song. This just... It felt low. Like, the volume on the song felt low. So, like, when the intro started, like, you know, you hear, like, the opening chords. Like, I couldn't tell what was going on. I thought my TV volume was way too low. I was like, what is going on? And then finally it kicks into, I'm so excited. And then I'm like, oh, my God. I was cackling. I was like, this is hilarious. It did not make me excited.
That's not good.
It didn't make me excited at all. I thought it was hilarious. It was a fan. I thought it was one of the best shows they've done in a while. Everything. Like, I really don't have any complaints about the show. But this intro song, like, it didn't feel like it fit the tone. Like, imagine, like, John Moxley's trying to kill people, and you tune on. You tune in, like, this is the intro song.
I'm watching you.
Like, what?
Yeah, I mean, this is like, I always make Always Sunny references, but one of their most famous episodes is The Night Man Cometh, where they do the whole play. And that just reminds me of, like, Mac being like, laughs are cheap. I'm going for gasps. And then he gets laughed at on stage. But, like, that's what that, like, reminds me of, you saying that. It's like, you're not supposed to be laughing heading into the show because of how corny the intro was. That's the exact opposite effect.
Ricochet stabbing a man.
Well, that was close to my spotlight. It came down to what I actually chose and that topic. I will quickly say that I was very, very, very confused for the last few weeks as to what they were doing with Ricochet. But it kind of paid off last night. I mean, he looked like a psychopath last night with the scissors. So, like, I got to give them credit to, like, you know, playing that out a little bit more to where I kind of see more, it makes a bit more sense. Like, they got us on this path of thinking he was, like, just a total dweeb. And now it's like, oh no, he's actually a psychopath. Like, y'all turn him into a psycho now. Like, so
I think it sends a bad message.
The theme song?
No. the Ricochet angle.
Oh,
it sends a bad message that this is not how you solve bullying, everybody. First, don't be a bully. Second, if you are bullied, do not try to murder people with scissors. Go tell the principal. Go warn somebody and have adults deal with it. This is not how you deal with bullying.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm going to do social commentary on a wrestling angle.
good life lessons there, Jeremy. Ricochet has snapped. But no, you're right. Like, that's... I don't know why they would... I mean, the Saturday Night song for Collision, like, that, it fits all right. You know, it's not... It isn't that you can't use old songs, like you said, but this really doesn't seem like it fits the show at all, regardless of how old the song is. I don't know what a better song would be, but I mean, I could, you know, probably think of some pretty quick.
A million better songs. There was nothing wrong with the old song, honestly.
No, there wasn't.
Light the Fuse, Bring the Boom. Yeah.
It's Dynamite. Yeah. Yeah, nothing wrong with that. It literally for the show. But yeah, I mean, I would go with like something more modern, like Big Man Dog says, get Kendrick or something. Like, I think like a good, like rap hip hop thing. Like, I think that could fit pretty well. It is kind of a
Win by J-Rock.
Win by J-Rock.
Yeah.
I don't know if I know that one.
Win. Fuck everything else. Win.
Oh.
Quit chasing that bitch. Win.
I know this one now. Yeah. Yeah, actually. Okay. Gotcha.
These people ain't shit. Win.
That's what you want to do in wrestling. You want to get those dubs.
That's what I'm saying. It sends a good message. You should be winning.
It sends a better message than I'm so excited and I just can't hide it.
Oh, D-Lo
it just makes you think of caffeine pills.
D-Lo says the new Dynamite and Judgment Day song sucks cheeks. Happy New Year. The new Judgment Day song sucks as well. That's awful.
I don't know if I've heard that one yet. No, actually, I think I have.
On Monday.
Well, that was the only time they had it.
Yeah, that was the only time they had it.
Oh, I guess I was thinking of Damien's song that they had been using for that.
Yeah, that song sucks too.
They all sound like they're trying to be similar to the Judgment Day song. But I haven't heard the new one, so I guess we can't speak on that.
That's awful. Any Up remix is a good shout. I like Any Up.
Kidnap that fool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any Up. I remember that a long time. Y'all reminded me of some old school classics here.
They used used Any Up in the new Turtles movie.
They did. That movie was great. Yeah. I actually got some of the figures from that movie, like the Funko Pops and stuff. Yeah, I actually really liked that one. I was a big Turtles fan back in the day. You can't really see it back here, but that's a signed Kino from TMNT2, the Secret of the Ooze, the pizza guy. His signed figure behind me. You can't really see the signature too well, but love me some Ninja Turtles. Oh yeah, I got a Ninja Turtle. That's a signed Sting Ninja Turtles right there. Anyways, just gonna flex a little bit.
Kenny Omega is returning. Well, he did return at World's End, and he confronted Okada, and then he's gonna be on Dynamite next week. He's not doing anything else in the
meantime. Yeah. So. It is kind of, I mean, we've talked about that before, how, you know, do you think that he's doing the New Japan match first with Gabe Kidd as like a way to just kind of like gauge where he's at? Like, so it isn't.
No, I think he's doing this match first because he wants to. I don't think I want to gauge where I'm at. I legitimately think he wants his return to be in Japan. He wants his return match to be in Japan.
Well, I'm saying like Gabe Kidd specifically being like, instead of like a bigger, like New Japan name.
I think he sees something in Gabe Kidd, and I think he's being truthful when he said he wants to help like kind of the next generation of people. And, you know, he dismissed Gabe Kidd. He's like, oh, he's not on the tier yet, but New Japan doesn't have a whole lot of like next generation guys. Like there's Shota, but he's in the main event of Wrestle Kingdom. You know, there's Rin Narita. He's like this fine. They don't have –
Did I lose Jeremy?
My 12 kids are starting to wake up, and so the internet's gonna go to shit.
Understood.
Time being. So I don't think that, like, New Japan hasn't built anybody to where it's like, oh yeah, Kenny should want to face this guy, because they don't, you know, look at, we'll talk about Wrestle Kingdom, but like,
yeah,
they're in this transition phase of kind of putting in the new people and then shuffling out the older guys. I think Kenny does want to help the new generation, and he does want to try to build up some people. And I think he looks at Gabe Kidd and he's like, all right, you know what? This guy's got something with his persona. He's a good wrestler, but he hasn't been able to sort of take that next step and break through in New Japan. Let me help him. I think that's why he wants it. Like, he could easily go out there and wrestle Shingo and have a great match with Shingo. And Kenny, he's probably going to do that at some point. I think he wants to help the newer generation.
Yeah, you're probably right about that. And also, to be fair, and we'll talk about Wrestle Kingdom in a second, but yeah, a lot of the majority of the names that, you know, I was a big fan of New Japan over the last decade or whatever, most of them just aren't there anymore, or they've gotten really old, or beat up, and or, you know. But yeah, I mean, seeing Kenny back in AEW, though, it's good to have him back, obviously. Like, it's big for AEW to have Kenny back. I know when he came out, it was more as an EVP. But obviously, he's going to wrestle soon for AEW as well. It'll be good to see him back. He'll be back next week, it sounds like. I doubt he's wrestling, but he's going to be on the show next week on Dynamite.
He's supposed to speak. They put out the graphic, we'll hear from Kenny Omega.
So it's good to just get him back in the mix in AEW. I'm interested to see what he does, you know, right off the bat, because they already teased him and Okada, with Okada winning the Continental Classic. So that's happening at some point again.
They were not subtle with that All-In banner in the background of that face-off.
Right. So that's where it's going to happen. We'll be at All-In. How long until then?
That's not until July, end of July.
So we've got two pay-per-views before. We have Revolution and
Double or Nothing.
Okay. I always get the schedule.
They have the Australia show as well, but they ain't really talking about that too much.
So I'm interested to see, because they have I don't know who it makes the most sense for Kenny to be feuding with before he gets back to Okada for All In. I'm interested in, I'm always interested in the Hang. Yeah, he has the built-in thing with the Elite, obviously. And then there's always the tie-in with Hangman also. The Hangman stuff is interesting, but it's also super confusing, because he's even more a heel now than he was before, but he was... Remember a week ago when Christopher Daniels was like, I'm going to make sure everything goes right in the main event? They didn't even show up in the main event. I don't know what the hell any of this was for. And then Hangman wins last night over Orange Cassidy in a really, really solid match between the two. And then beats him up after to reestablish that he's a heel, tells him to stay out of his business. So can Kenny be involved with that at all? The good thing is there's a lot of good matchups, a lot of good rematches for Kenny, and a lot of fresh matchups too. Boris says Omega and Fletcher. I think that'd be fire. If they put that together sometime soon.
Go back and watch AEW Collision in the archives in 2022.
Did that match happen?
Yeah. I'll give you the exact date. Hold on.
Okay.
It was... Oh, sorry. I was actually wrong. I was... AEW Dynamite, October 18th, 2023, is Kyle Fletcher against Kenny Omega.
Okay. It will be bigger now, obviously, because of the push that Fletcher's got. Except, he still didn't win the Continental Classic, which I feel like is kind of a miss, but I get where they're going with Okada.
They're
going
to do Fletcher and Ospreay 3 in Australia, is my guess.
Yeah, that's a good call. But anyway, to the actual topic, Kenny, there's not a whole lot I can say until he gets more back in the mix, but it's obviously good to have him back. Like they they obviously have a really large roster of talent, but Kenny Omega is always going to be one of their main attractions. And he's a legitimate day one guy, EVP. You know, the fans, a lot of the fan base was built on him. And, you know, I just don't want to see it get back to, like, because you know it's inevitable because they left it with him versus the Elite. Like, the last thing we saw that had to do with him that I can remember on the show was them pouring, like, pig organs or whatever it was, like intestines, onto that birthday cake. So it's like, there's no way. But also the Elite, things have changed with them too, because the Death Riders are now the major heel group taking over, and like there's a chance that the Elite could come back as baby faces. I don't know, but it's good. Nonetheless, it's good to have Kenny back. We're at least guaranteed some banger matches with Kenny being back. So like, that's, you know, it's, there's no negative to Kenny being back, I guess, is what I'm saying. I'm just interested to see what they do with him until the Okada match.
I care less about the banger matches because you get those every single week on AEW. There's an element of storytelling with Kenny Omega that AEW has missed. Kenny is very meticulous when he puts stuff together and does stuff. And he's one of their better storytellers. And they've missed that. For a couple of reasons. One, he's just very good at storytelling. Two, he has a connection with the crowd that many others in the company don't have. And you referenced it, of he's a day one guy. He helped build the company. He's basically everything that AEW stands for when it comes to we're the best wrestle and we're going to put on, you know, we're going to be different than the competition as far as our wrestling style and the kind of wrestling we're going to give you. That's Kenny Omega. So they've missed that with him. That's what I'm looking forward to, him being back, is where they go with the story. Because there's a lot they could do with him, whatever he decides to do. I don't know what it's going to be. Maybe he'll do stuff that's bad on purpose. And then, you know, they'll tell us 6 months later, yeah, this was supposed to be bad on purpose. You guys just didn't get it.
Matthew Hooks with I think this is possible. This is a decent idea, I think. Matthew Hooks says, thank you for the super chat, by the way, says Kenny beats Takeshita to win the international title, and then he unifies it with the Continental against Okada.
I wish they would do something like that, but yeah. I don't think they are.
Although I think Takeshita Okada in itself is like...
I think you can just do that. Yeah. Remember they teased that, and then they just never did it?
Yeah, exactly. I'd love to see Takeshita beat Okada, actually. I think that would be, that'd be big.
Yeah, I think you could just do that match, and then I'm all for Kenny facing Takeshita again and Kenny facing Okada, obviously. But I just think you can do Takeshita and Okada and unify that way. They got to unify these titles in some way, it feels like. Like there's three kind of mid-card titles, and which one's the most important is decided on the week. It doesn't feel like the TNT title right now, because Garcia didn't even make the semifinals of the tournament, and then he was running scared from Mark Briscoe during the pre-show. Like, what? But he's facing Mark Briscoe on Saturday.
Yeah, no, we talked about that plenty, about how they need to unify and get rid of stuff. At least they did get rid of the FTW title not that long ago, so they've started chipping away. They definitely need to unify the... There's no point in the Continental title, like, especially because if you just got to go to a tournament each year and then like essentially give it up to do the tournament, like why would you even want to be that champion? Like, it's like, it's almost like being the 24/7 champion. It's like more of like a burden than anything else. Cause you never, all you've had is Kingston and Okada. And only, you know, we had that one title change in between tournaments when Okada came in. But outside of that, there's been no point in having that belt at all, because it just goes into the tournament, basically. So,
well, anyway. Okada defended it, in fairness to him. Like, he defended it multiple times throughout the year.
Yeah, but still not needed. They can do with that without that and just do the tournament each year, in my opinion. Or make the tournament for, like, you know, have a different, you know, give them a trophy, make them number contender for the world title or something. Like, you could do other, you could have a different big prize for the tournament each year, or maybe that's, you put the international championship on the line in the tournament. I mean, like, I don't know, but they should figure that out hopefully soon. I mean, it doesn't even just go to those titles, like the trios championships. And then, like, I mean, the actual world title, we haven't even actually put eyes on since like October I mean, since
the soul of AEW is more important.
Right. Gotta pay the troll toll to get into this boy's soul. You gotta pay the troll toll to get in. Anyway, well,
none of it's gonna matter because Jeff Jarrett's gonna win the AEW world title. He's gonna restore order.
Talk about it.
He's gonna restore order. So Jeff Jarrett comes out on Dynamite. He, you know, they tease having a big announcement. And he's like, he recalled all his history, TNA reference as well. Started TNA. And he's like, but I'm not done yet. The last ride for the last outlaw. I've re-signed with AEW. And I'm going after the world title. I want the AEW world title in 2025. It's got to happen, right? We got to do this.
You got to strap them up.
I don't think they
There's no other choice.
I don't think they are.
It's so wild that this is happening because literally, and I think this was the intent. So I'm not saying this was all on me. Like, I think the AEW is kind of subtly planting these seeds to get me to think this way anyways. But like, when I watched the pre-show for World's End, I was literally thinking to myself, I was like, man, Jeff Jarrett, like, it feels like they haven't done like anything with him really in AEW. But like, when you think about his history, you would think that he would be kind of a bigger deal than he's been used in AEW. And I get he's an older guy, obviously. And like, I get all that, you know, and he'd been teaming with Satnam and Jay Lethal and all that kind of stuff. I get all that. But like, at the end of the day, you know, Jeff Jarrett's obviously accomplished a lot. He's been a controversial figure in wrestling. Like, a lot of people, see, me and Jeremy lived through this also. Like, back when Jeff Jarrett, even back when he was like the WCW world champion, people were like, what state has this company gotten to where Jeff Jarrett's the world champion? Like, of all, like, that's the best they've got now is Jeff Jarrett. That's not a good sign. When TNA was, when he was the world champion over and over and over in TNA, it was like,
yeah, that was painful.
Let's yeah, well,
so we're not going right. to do revisionist history of, oh, this was the right call. No,
no, because that was also like, we wanted Monty Brown, we wanted AJ Styles. Yeah. Well, I see, Monty Brown never even got his moment, unfortunately. All the other guys at least did. Like, AJ Styles was a multi-time champion and stuff too. But Jeff Jarrett was beating these guys constantly. Like Raven would get the title and people would be all stoked on it, even though at the time Raven was still kind of old, but he really wasn't in hindsight. Like, but anyways, he was doing well in TNA. Like, all these guys like Raven and Rhino and all these guys, AJ Styles was the new up and comer who was like the multi-time X Division champion, and Monty Brown was the guy that, you know, we was the homegrown guy that we all wanted to see like break through, and all these guys, and like Jarrett was beating all those guys, Christian, Sting, all these guys. And so that wasn't good either. Like, at the time, people were like Jeremy said, we were like, get Jarrett out of the way. Like, this is like go away heat type stuff.
Oh, it was 100%.
So, but then it's like Jarrett turned the corner at some point with the fan base. It definitely wasn't the Ric Flair's last match that did it, but that was another just kind of footnote in the story, like all that stuff happening too. But at some point, Jarrett did win the kind of our audience over.
He stopped being featured on Television Weekly. He stopped being in the championship picture. And then people were like, hey, the Jeff Jarrett's not so bad. That's been the thing with AEW. Right. Right. Is like, he's not the world champion. He's not a weekly television guy, even though he's, you know, fantastic. Like, he's really good. He's still a very good wrestler. The match with QT Marshall at World's End, I thought was great professional wrestling. Jeff Jarrett's fine in like small doses. That's why him being the world champion, that has a real chance to, and I don't think it's going to happen, by the way. I think it'd be hilarious because it popped me, but that has a real chance to be like, what are we doing here?
Yeah. Well, so, and that's my thing is, if you're on one hand, I would like to see it happen just out of almost for history's sake, just to see how they go through with doing this. Like, if they put together a compelling enough story and he has good enough matches with the right people and the fans actually get behind the idea of it. Because like, the way that Sting went out was like the best retirement ever with Darby and the tag team stuff. But I also kind of feel like, if you're going to even float this idea about Jeff Jarrett, why didn't you float about Sting? Like, I mean, I know Sting wasn't wrestling singles matches and stuff, but
I don't know if Sting wanted it.
He probably didn't.
I bet the idea was floated for Sting.
You're probably right.
Like, why am I going to do that for? No.
And Jeff Jarrett was like, hell yeah.
Yeah. So here's actually my thing. I wonder how much of this was ran by anybody. Obviously, he re-signed. How much of this was he re-signed and Tony's just like, go out there, tell everybody you re-signed, and then say whatever you want. Jeff's like, okay, bet. He goes out there. He's like, I re-signed. I want the AEW world title. And now Tony's like, what the huh?
Yeah.
I thought you were just going to say, like, you know, I re-signed, happy to be all elite. Now we're gonna have a good 2025, last outlaw, retirement tour, whatever it may be. Like, wait, now I got to do a world title program because you said this? What?
Dude, Jeff Jarrett just
went into business
time.
For himself one yeah. last time. He's like, fuck it. Let's do yeah. old Carney shit here. Dude, I'm going for the world title.
Yes. And for people who don't know, this is also like back in he had that big fallout with the WWF in the 90s because of holding the company up. Stuff like that. Like, that'd be so funny. GCW, he rug pulled them with the F.
Yeah, that
stuff.
Ruled.
Like, this guy, that would be the greatest thing of all time. He has to go down as the best worker ever if he negotiated his way he already is, right? But this solidifies it. If he re-signed with AEW, then like in the fine print of the contract, he turned to Tony with like a magnifying glass and was like, you just agreed to give me the world championship, buddy. You know what I mean? Like, just like, but oh man, but anyway, I do think that I like that him, along with many people on the show last night, MJF, a bunch of others, all mentioned they want the AEW World Championship. At least they're making that seem important, and like a bunch of people are going after it. And I know they have the gauntlet coming up, so that's good. Cyclops is better than Wolverine. I don't want to miss your super chats. His Punk's bracelet's been treated more prestigious than the Continental. Yeah, you're totally right about that. Says he's not exiled to Twitch bits anymore. Now, so thank you for joining us over here on YouTube. There was another thing I saw here powder finisher. This is possible too. Double J wins it and Christian beats him for it with the briefcase. And that's
Christian's beating Darby for
it. You're probably right. Imagine like they just shelve the Darby stuff and they're like, we got to run with Double J, so it's just the right thing to do.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah, we're all getting, what's so funny is all the people of our generation are actually getting excited about the idea of this, but it's also like the complete antithesis, 180 opposite of like what the mission statement of AEW should be. Like, having, if Jeff Jarrett won their championship, now once again though, you can look at it this way, you can look at it out of the way of like, this shouldn't be happening, we should be going younger and faster and stronger and athletic and that kind of stuff, the Darby Allin route. We can go the Christian route, which is on the older end, more character driven side, stuff like that. Or you can go the Terry Funk route with Double J, where it's just like the oldest guy in the company, you know, you give it to the oldest guy in the company. You know what I mean? There you go. There's no more of that to it. And then Double J has claimed to being former WCW, TNA, and AEW world champion. He's never, hey, you never know. You never know. Could he go back? Could he go back to the good old WWE? And he's working Tony, saying, this is my last wrestling contract. I'm going to sign a talent contract. But he's just using this as negotiation for his next contract.
Do you think Jarrett,
back to the WWE.
You think Jarrett signed like a 10-year deal? Like, this is my last contract, but it's like a 10-year deal.
That'd be great.
Not going to retire for another 10 years.
See, I'd imagine it has something built in on like the creative backstage side also, where like he'll stick around. Cause I'd imagine
he signed as like the live events producer. And then like two weeks later, they stopped doing live events.
Right. Well, and he had signed with the WWE like right before that again too, for like backstage.
I think he got furloughed during that.
I
don't want to be incorrect about it. Yeah. He was like the special guest referee for the SummerSlam match with like the Usos and the Street Profits, and then like he was in AEW like 2 weeks later.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I mean, you never know. I mean, it's similar maybe to, you know, whatever deal they might have given Dustin to stay. You know, I think that's something to be said about AEW also. Like, it can't be all bad at AEW when Jeff Jarrett, you know, if he wanted out right now, he could go back to the WWE. I don't think he'd necessarily be like on the WWE show.
Could he?
I think if he wanted to go back, he has enough. He has enough, you know, whatever you want to call it, time in the business.
Oh, the thing is he's not going to be on television in WWE.
They're no, I'm talking about. Right, I'm talking about back. Well, if you have to be on TV, AEW is the best option.
I don't know if there's a backstage role, because he was doing the backstage role when Vince was there, and then Vince left, and Triple H basically replaced him with Road Dogg. Like, that was the whole joke. It's like, oh, look, Jeff Jarrett got replaced by Road Dogg again. I don't know if there is a real spot for him in WWE.
Maybe.
I mean, maybe he could just go in there and be a producer, fine. But clearly Jarrett wants more than just being a producer.
Yeah, and I think maybe the same goes for Dustin. But at the same time, Dustin, I think, would have something on screen built in with Cody. You know?
I don't know,
like,
about
Cody and his bloodline. I mean, if it was just for one big match, like.
But I think Dustin wants more than just going back and, oh, cool, let me do like one match with Cody. I don't think Triple H sees Jeff Jarrett and Dustin Rhodes as like, yeah, we're gonna heavily feature these guys. One, they got too much talent as it is to where. How are you going to get all this talent on the show? Oh, here's a spot for two 60-year-olds. We got to somehow work them on the show regularly. I just don't think Jeff Jarrett's got a nice little, he's going after the world title.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Dustin Rhodes is ROH tag team champion, ROH six-man champion. Like, he's wrestling pretty regularly on the ROH show. At the very least, he's on the ROH show. Like, I don't think there's just spots in WWE to where it's like, yeah, sure, like, they're just gonna walk in there and be featured weekly on television, or even like coaching gigs. Like, maybe there's a coaching gig at NXT for these guys, but one, do they want that? Two, is that spot actually there?
That's the thing. I just be speculating if there's a spot open or not, so that's one thing to definitely consider. But you know that if Goldust was available, I have a very strong feeling they would do something with Cody and Goldust versus the Bloodline, but that might just be the one thing they have planned for Goldust. Like, that would be it.
Right.
Whereas in AEW, he can keep being a part of it regularly. So
I don't think Dustin wants to just be Goldust again either. Like, I don't think he wants to do all that. I think he's fine just being Dustin Rhodes. And I do think, like, if he came back, it would just be a Dustin Rhodes. Like, he would just come back, same blue face paint, half blue face paint, and everything. And then, sure, you maybe get a Bloodline match out of that. But I don't think Dustin, and I don't know if Cody even wants to just be like, oh, sure, bring back my brother and let's do what we'll do this thing. And then again, what are you going to do with him after that thing? And I don't think obviously they have plenty of plans for Cody. I don't think they really have anything. It's like, oh yeah, we're going to definitely use Dustin a lot after we basically do the one kind of thing we want to do.
Sure, sure. Cyclops with the super chat says Triple H only hires his friends. That's not double J. That's not true. There's people.
It's not.
I mean, there's a good response by Keyshawn. CM Punk definitely was not a Triple H friend.
Okay, so I took Cyclops as like in a backstage role type thing. That's where Triple H is definitely like looking out for.
Oh, as far as like people he has to work with on a day to day basis backstage.
Yeah, yeah, and he even says that. Yeah, CM Punk.
That's a different
not working
thing.
Backstage. Yeah, I don't think Jeff Jarrett. Yeah, he's bringing him in as a regular wrestler. And look, let's be honest about things. CM Punk, when it comes to drawing money and what you can do on television, a way higher tier than where Jeff Jarrett is in 2025.
I don't know about that, man. That's pretty messed up for you to say that. We need to move on to our next topics.
Now, I took Cyclops, and he did clarify of like the back.
That makes sense. Yeah. That makes sense.
All right, we can move on.
Our product is what it is. We're going straight up the middle.
You excited for Wrestle Kingdom?
Nah. Next topic.
This card.
Listen, man, most of the people that I've followed aren't there anymore. And the ones that are the ones that I didn't care that much about. So that's honest truth. Like, I mean, how hype can I get for like Tanahashi versus Evil? You know what I mean? Like,
oh, that's my most match I'm looking forward to the most.
I bet. And I bet you hope Evil wins too.
Hell yeah. I love Tanahashi, though. So, like, I'm actually a big Tanahashi mark. So, but I still kind of hope Evil wins and he just retires Tanahashi. And that's like the end of Tanahashi's retirement tour. Like, just one match done.
It's the perfect one, too, because it's the most polarizing opponent. Like, because everybody's thoughts on Evil are just
wrong.
You loved his title reign, didn't you?
Yeah, he rules. He's bad on purpose, Jensen. Don't you get it? He's bad on, but he's not saying it like other people.
Right. He's big brain moves. Got a five head. I think that Shingo versus Takeshita will be a banger. That right there is probably worth tuning in right there. I think that Shota versus ZSJ will be good too. Do you think Shota wins it there in the main event?
Maybe.
Because they have Ricochet built in for the title shot next, right?
Yeah, I don't know if it is a title match if Zack Sabre retains. So that's the thing is, I don't think Zack's losing back-to-back matches, but Ricochet's probably not winning the IWGP title. Right. So Zack wins and then beats Ricochet. It's I don't know how they're going to do it. Like, that's the most intriguing thing is, like, is Zack Sabre going to retain? Because you got to make Shota at some point. And if you're not going to do it at Wrestle Kingdom, when are you going to do it? I don't know if Shota's ready for the spot, but at some point you're going to have to make him. Maybe Zach just wins both matches. Ricochet can afford a loss. It's fine. People are paying attention to Wrestle Dynasty, but clearly it's not like cannon fodder and AEW. Like, they ain't. Mercedes is mentioning it because, you know, they have Mina as well, and Mercedes is collecting gold, and I feel like Mercedes is going to win that match and get more gold, and that's the reason to mention it. They ain't mentioning Kenny and Gabe Kidd. They ain't mentioning Ricochet and Zack Sabre. They ain't mentioning Takeshita and Shingo. Like, they're not mentioning Wrestle Dynasty at all as far as what they're, like, this is a co-produced show.
Yeah.
The Young Bucks, they're not mentioning the game. Young Bucks,
I forgot they're even on this. Yeah,
Wrestle Dynasty.
Yeah,
yeah, like, they're not mentioning any of this stuff. So I think Ricochet could just take a loss to Zack Sabre, and like, it'll be fine. I don't know as far as what they're gonna do with Shota, and if they decide to just we're just gonna make him off of this. I don't know if they will or not.
Yeah, I mean, my prediction is gonna be that they keep rolling with ZSJ. I think he retains against Shota and then against, Ricochet, mainly because it took so long for them to finally put the belt on ZSJ too. It's like, give him a run with it. I had no problem with that. Speaking of someone that I think needs a W, Yoda Tsuji, I think should beat Dave Finley for the global championship.
I think he will. I think he will.
They need to keep going with Tsuji. He's actually interesting. Like, Naito and Takahashi, like, Naito is one of those guys for me where I just had enough. Like, it's not that I even, like, dislike the guy. It's just any time that I've gotten behind him, like, he wins the big one occasionally, then, like, loses the title, like, way too soon, and then kind of he hasn't had the best matches of what I've seen lately either. Like, he's getting up there. I mean, that's their problem. Is like they need the new stars like Shota and stuff. But like Hiromu Takahashi, I've always been a fan of his, but I feel like the time to pull the trigger on him also was like years ago. Some of these guys that just take way too long to actually like give the real push to. Now, Takahashi also has dealt with like some pretty big injuries. So like, there's that happens too. And there's nothing you can do about that as far as like when that happens, you can't obviously push somebody or use them on TV, but like I was always very interested by Hiromu Takahashi. Like, I think he's got a good look, very charismatic. So I think it'd be good for him to beat Naito and then actually like do something with Hiromu going forward after that. I mean, they really need to do. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was saying, Big Man Dog saying Naito Takahashi is the real main event to the Japanese audience. There's a reason why this match, despite the fact that there's no title or anything, is the co-main event. There is a reason for that, and he's absolutely correct. Like, this for that audience feels more like the main event than Zack Sabre and Shota.
Yeah, I think Hiromu should win that one, and they need to, like, I know ZSJ has been around a while, but he's still how old is ZSJ? Let me look real quick.
I'll tell you, I'm just 37. He's 37.
That's still not that's still not too old. If you keep yourself in good shape, Cody's like 37, 38. Like, some guys can really hit their prime at that age. If you can stay physically healthy, like, that's when you could really honestly be at your best, is around that. So, like, I think there's no reason to, like, feel like there's a need to, like, move on from ZSJ anytime soon. I know they just recently put the title on him, obviously, but, like, I don't think that it's, like, super necessary for Shota to beat ZSJ, but I do think it's necessary for Hiromu to beat Naito. I think it's necessary for Tsuji to beat Finley, that kind of stuff. Shota will have his day eventually. It just, I don't think that this is the time to do it or the right opponent. But that's pretty much my main thoughts on Wrestle Kingdom, honestly. Like, I'm not super excited, but I do think Naito Takahashi, hopefully it's good. I haven't seen very many good Naito matches lately. I think ZSJ and Shota will be good, but it'll be a totally different type of match than what you see on the rest of the card. Shingo versus Takeshita, like I said, I think will be the best match on the show.
Yeah, I'm more interested in Wrestle Dynasty. It's going to be a long weekend, but I'm more interested in Wrestle Dynasty because it has the return of Kenny and even the Young Bucks. Like, I'm not like the biggest Young Bucks fan, but them in the New Japan setting will be fun. Like, I'm just kind of more interested in that show. Wrestle Kingdom, I'm interested in some of the results. Like, I'm interested if they're going to actually, like, make Shota and Tsuji and go with these guys. A, because, you know, they were part of the new Three Musketeers. So are they going to go ahead and be like, I've said this many times, I'll say it here since it's kind of my last opportunity to say it. This feels like a transitional Wrestle Kingdom. And 5 years from now, we might look back at this and be like, hey, remember Wrestle Kingdom 19, where they made Shota, they made Tsuji, and now business is hot and these guys are on top and they've been like the faces of the company for the last 5 years? Or remember Wrestle Kingdom 19, where they failed to make these guys, or they tried to make these guys and it just didn't work and they had to pivot? We're going to look back at this 5 years from now, and it's either going to be a monumental show or it's going to be a show that looks terrible in hindsight.
Yeah, you're probably right.
What should happen?
Okay. That was it. What should happen?
Omos should just come in and squash everybody. Like, everybody on the show. He just comes out there and just beats them all up and then stacks the entire roster.
You love to see it with Omos. I was one of the only people that I felt like that liked Omos in the WWE. I saw talent in that man ever since I saw him protecting the door at Raw Underground. That guy, when you're that size and you can actually move. Like, I'm not saying that Omos is Rey Mysterio out there between the ropes, but he's competent enough and athletic enough to do. If when you look like that, all you got to do is like the bare minimum and it's going to look impressive. Like, just don't screw up. That's like all you got to do. Do power moves, walk slow and meticulously like you're a Frankenstein monster, and hit choke slams. Like, hit choke slams and power moves. That's all you got to do. And Omos can do that. And I think that makes him an attraction. I think WWE has massively fumbled his utilization. Like, I think he should be used as an attraction where you don't see him every week. Like, what happened to the Big Show throughout his career? Everyone just got way too desensitized to, like, seeing him out there. We got way too used to him. We got used to seeing him lose and stuff. Omos going to Japan, I think it's going to be the best thing that ever happened for him. Because over in Asia, that guy, I mean, no one looks like that. Like, he's three times the size of the people in the audience. I mean, he's twice the size of anyone he's going to wrestle. Like, this I think could be big for him. I legitimately I'm a fan of his. And he shows personality. Like, have you seen him at like when they do like Wally Mania and stuff, and he's out there like rapping on stage? Dude, this guy, and I've seen him do interviews. Like, he speaks well. Like, it's one of those things where it's like, it's surprising me that WWE hasn't figured out more to do with the guy, honestly. So I'm excited to see what he does in Japan. He's already won half of the tag champs with Noah. Like, good for him. That's all I can really say. Good for him. I hope that he has success there. I say the same kind of stuff about Big Bill and AEW, where I'm like, Big Bill, I think, can move better, and he's a better worker than Omos. He's also got a lot more experience. But, like, it's the same kind of stuff, the same kind of intangibles. Like, how is Big Bill not a bigger deal than he is right now? I know he had the personal stuff, but he's past that now. Like, look at this man. This is an unusually humongous human being. Yeah, and I thought it was great that Edge said that, too, of all people, that he was like, you're ugly, Cope. Because, obviously, the comparisons is that he looks like Edge. But Cope. I'm so sorry. Cope. And obviously they did that because that's like E-D-G-E-C-O-P-E. It's like, you know. Anyway. Yeah, and that's all I can really say about it. Oh, I'm happy for Omos. This guy, I think, he's been underutilized up to this point. And I know that there's only so much you can do sometimes with someone who's super green, but like I'm really glad to see what he's doing. And I think he's gonna be like a legit attraction in Japan. And hopefully when he comes back to the States eventually, they could use this in like, you know, and not like, not in like a Lord Tensai type way where like Albert left, actually had a lot of success in Japan and then came back and they made him like a joke after like a few weeks of like a good push. They made him a literal, like they had him doing like the hip hop hippo stuff. Like this is like Omos goes to Japan, has some success, comes back, and they can use that in story of like the last time you saw Omos, he was impressive, but you know, he hadn't put it all together. He left to Japan, became a champion, became a recognized figure in that culture and in that sport. And now he's back with more experience and he comes back and gets like an actual push on WWE TV. I'm good with this. I don't know how you feel about it, but I'm like legitimately happy for the guy.
I think it would be great if that happened. Like, I don't know how much you're going to do with Omos, how far you're going to go with Omos, or you're going to put the world title on him. There's definitely a spot for Omos given his size and his look and just the history of wrestling when it comes to giants. They don't have anybody like this on the roster. Like, not that I can think of anyway. Like, there's Braun. He's much bigger than Braun. Bronson's hurt right now. He's obviously bigger, like thicker with everything, but he's not as tall as Omos. He's a fine worker. He's not going to go out there and have these five-star matches or anything, but he works around his size. That's all you need.
We haven't seen someone this size in WWE since Kali, but Omos is way more confident than Kali, like moving around, you know? Like, no one's been this size.
Yeah, there's a spot for him on television. Why they won't give him that spot, I don't know. But now with SmackDown being 3 hours, with Raw moving to Netflix and probably being 3 hours, they're going to have more television time now than they've had over the past, you know, these past 3 months since Raw was cut to 2 and SmackDown remained at 2. But it feels like, yeah, there's a spot for Omos and you probably should use him in some way. We'll see if they actually do that.
Yeah. I know we got to move on to the next topic before I get out of here, but yeah, congrats to Omos. I'm glad he's already having success in Japan. I legitimately hope he does well.
Marufuji tweeted that he received a text from Shawn Michaels and he was very happy about it. So that's see Marufuji in NXT.
I saw the picture. That'd be sick. I saw Marufuji versus Dijak live at a Glory Pro show years ago. It was so good. Marufuji, you see the picture of Marufuji with his fist up on Omos's chin?
Yeah.
His arm like all the way extended up, like because he like to reach up for him. Yeah. Very cool. Very, very cool stuff.
All right, let's get to our indie spotlight.
I'm gonna give a big motherfucking shout out.
Marcus Mathers, WWE ID prospect, defeated Cruel to win the IWCB Independent Wrestling World Championship. WWE is now the champion of independent wrestling. That's
how I'm having a hard time hearing you, Jeremy. I don't know if it's my headset or your mic.
I think I'm on a delay, maybe.
There we go. No, you're good now.
Marcus Mathers won the IWE TV championship.
Yes. Marcus Mathers won the title at Beyond Wrestling Heavy Lies the Crown on New Year's Eve. I believe it was my days are all screwed. I'm pretty sure it was New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
And White Eagle, so this is great. Marcus won the match after it was a death match, you know, both guys blood all over the place.
you had the finish was a brainbuster followed up by a 450 splash. And I like the way that Krul sold it also, because Krul's essentially like a monster, right? And he's like been completely unbeatable for years at this point. And Krul, like the way he sold the pinfall was cool, because he had his, I can't do it because I'm sitting up, but he had his chin up like this, like he was trying to kick out. And then when Mathers got the three, his head went back and hit the mat. Like he had, Mathers had killed the monster finally. And I don't know if y'all remember, but when me and Jeremy interviewed Krul a little while back, we asked him, who do you think has a chance at maybe dethroning you at some point for this title? Because his title reign had been so OP that it was like, who's got a shot? Alec Price at the time had the best chance, because like it didn't take too long for me to explain everything, but they were both laying claim to being the IWTV champion. Krul had never lost the title to injury. Alec had beaten Killdozer for the title in the time being, so aka Matt Tremont. So it looked like Alec Price had a real chance to beat Krul then, but Krul beat him, and Krul kept going on with the title. And he brought up Marcus Mathers' name during our interview. He was like, Mathers is like one that's, you know, getting some shots at me, and, you know, and he's the one who wound up doing it. And obviously Mathers is WWE ID'd, so he's got a lot of eyes on him right now, and he deserved it one way or another. I mean, like, Mathers has been grinding the indie since he was a teenager. He's still a young guy, and he's got a ton of talent and a ton of potential still to get even better and better. But yeah, it was really cool to see. I mean, there was no one else I could really think of that it would have made more sense at this point to beat Krul for that title. So I think the right guy got the win. The guy, and they have history with one another. Marcus had multiple shots at Krul over the last year plus for that championship. And Mathers got the job done, and you know, I'm happy for him. I think he was the right guy to win. The match was great. Krul had a great title run, and I'd imagine we'll still probably see Krul fairly often on the indie scene. But he did sign with MLW recently, so he's been on MLW TV obviously for a while now. So yeah, congratulations to Marcus Mathers. He totally deserves it.
And then Megan Bain won the Till Infinity Rumble on also New Year's Eve. And she is now the number one contender for the GCW title. Although, you know, they got to do Effie and Allie, and the winner of that will face Mance, and that's at Hammerstein. And Megan's facing Atticus Kogar at Hammerstein. So that match was also announced. And Cole Radrick, our pal, has the brass ring. So GCW right. World title picture, a lot going on.
Yes. Now, so it was Till Infinity is the show.
It's a do or die rumble,
but the technical difference with that is that you technically can choose any match that you want for the next year. So it doesn't have to be for the GCW World Championship. I mean, it would historically it's been used for that. Like Blake Christian, for instance, used his title win to become the GCW World Champion. But like Megan Bain doesn't necessarily have to use it for that. She could decide she wants Genelesis, her and Joey Janela, to go for the tag title. She could just want like a big dream match against somebody. Like, doesn't necessarily mean she's going to go for the world title, but I mean, in kayfabe, like that's what you would want most, obviously, with a win like that. Megan Bain, obviously super talented. Her and Atticus is going to be interesting. I think Atticus needs a big push if he's going to be staying around GCW going forward, especially because I could see Megan. I don't know what Megan's contract status is like or anything like that, but there's no way she isn't like heavily on the radars of WWE and AEW, like with her size, look, talent, everything. Like she has TV star written all over her. So I think GCW is smart to get as much as they can out of her. And they're very smart with how they book her and push her. She rarely ever loses. Good for Megan Bain. Her and Atticus is going to be very interesting, especially because it's in New York. So Atticus isn't going to be able to do most of the stuff he's known to do, but it'll maybe give them an option to tell a bit more of a story without so much like the deathmatch stuff. A big, big win for Megan. And we'll talk more about GCW Hammerstein the closer we get to that show for the people for GCW. But that reminds me, actually, I need to hit up Sean like today and find out what you want to do. If y'all want to like a review for that, or having to do that on the weekend or what, because that show is the same night as TNA Genesis, which I normally cover with Joel and Cresta. So I'll get some answers for y'all on that soon if we're going to be doing like a GCW Hammerstein review or anything like that, and where that'll be once I know. But congratulations to Megan Bain. Big win in that do or die rumble.
There you go.
Yes, I gotta go to work. Go ahead and follow me on X at @FightTalk_. Jeremy, I know we're both getting out of here anyway because there's no interview, but I'm gonna bounce right now so I can clock in for work. Good seeing you, Jeremy. Good seeing chat. Happy New Year, everybody. Skull Vikings.
All right, everybody. Yes, we don't have an interview this week because it was the new year and everything. So we respected people's time and, you know, maybe they didn't want to talk to us, but we should have one next week. But I'm going to get out of here as well. Appreciate everybody joining us here on the show today. If you're listening on audio, leave us a nice review on iTunes or Spotify, wherever you're listening. Give us a thumbs up if you're watching the replay on YouTube. Subscribe to the channel if you're watching the replay on YouTube. Thanks everybody for hanging out in the chat today. We'll be back next week. I'll be back tomorrow in the weeds, 10 a.m. Eastern, with Joel Pearl. Talk about everything that went on Dynamite. Talk about all the New Japan shows that are going to happen this weekend. Talk about SmackDown, where I don't think like anything's announced. So we'll see about that. But yeah, thanks everybody for hanging out. Hope everyone had a happy, safe new year since this is the first show I'm doing in the new year. Hope everyone had a good new year. And we will talk to you later on. Bye, everybody.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.